The subject of the sermon this morning is the gospel truth of gratitude. And for help in instruction in that great doctrine of gratitude, we would turn to the Heidelberg Catechism and then to the Word of God on which the Catechism is founded in Lord's Day 32. The Heidelberg Catechism, that great Reformed doctrine, that reformational doctrine of the 16th century, continues to resonate today with the truth of the Word of God that it summarizes and represents. And here at Lord's Day 33, there's a turn from the discussion in the Lord's days of the Savior, and now we deal with the response of gratitude or thanksgiving to the Savior that is incumbent upon the Church to show. And so Lord's Day 32 is a great turning point in the Catechism, and I trust it will be for turning points in our lives, that we may show more gratitude to the great God of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Question 86 of the Heidelberg Catechism asked this question: since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ, that's our salvation, without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works? And the answer is given: because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct and gratitude, our gratitude to God for His blessings, and that He may be praised by us. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Then this next question, 87, cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? And the answer is by no means, for the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Thus far, the Heidelberg Catechism's summary of the necessity of good works having been delivered by Jesus Christ. It's important, even absolutely necessary, that we show that we are delivered by a life of good works in response and in gratitude to the great Savior. This is biblical. All of the doctrines of the Reformed creeds are biblical. And so we would turn to the Word of God at this time and read Colossians chapter 3, the first 17 verses, in which is set forth the wonderful response of the people of God to the great work of salvation in Jesus Christ. And the wonderful response has to do with our gratitude. And so we would read the first 17 verses, God's Word, Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thus far we read the sacred word of God, on which is based every true creed of the Church of Christ, and on which also ought to be based our lives. The doctrine that we would consider in the light of the Word of God with the help of the creeds is the doctrine of gratitude. It's an important doctrine, a practical doctrine, how to live in response to the great salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Having been delivered from our misery, the Catechism reminds us, merely of grace through Christ, why must we still do good works? That's the question of today, and it's a very important question that is raised because of an objection. The objection goes something like this. If we are saved by grace alone, that is, the free favor of God, if we don't have to do anything to merit salvation, if salvation is not of him who wills nor of him who works, then why should we do any good work? In fact, isn't this the case, so the objection goes, that if you preach that we are saved by sovereign grace alone, will not this make the people of God callous and indifferent to the things of holiness and godliness? Will not grace then become an excuse that since we are saved by grace, why then encumber ourselves with things like commandments and holiness and self-denial? That's the age-old objection brought already in the first century, and which continued at the time of the Reformation, when the doctrines of grace were recovered from the Roman Catholic false church. Today also, those who would preach pure grace are slandered as those who have no reason why to be holiness. But we would say today, and we would say before all the world, that we have every reason to be holy, and that grace itself is a great connection, an overwhelming doctrine and truth of God that compels us also freely in love to show that we are God's people by our holiness and our thankful living. And in this day of coronaviruses and all of the diseases that are resultant from that, I suppose, in this day, in the light of a pandemic, we would give global witness to the truth of the grace of God in Jesus and the life of godliness that becomes those who believe that we are saved in Jesus' blood, we are saved by grace alone, and that He's coming in His grace to take us home. What great hope we have for the nations. What great hope we have in our own lives. The grace of God that has begun in us shall also continue to perfect us in the day of the Lord. And so we want to consider, first of all, the great connection there is between grace and godliness, grace and the gratitude that is becoming a children of God. Then we want to consider this grace on the ground, and then finally the blessed contagiousness that grace is in and among the people of God's grace. We are reminded in this turning point of a catechism, and in the turning point of our discussion as a Church of Jesus Christ, of the things of grace and of gratitude, that Jesus Christ is the one who saves sinners by His grace. What a great thing! We are saved merely of the free favor and power of God from a great depth. The depth is sin. And for all who know this and have tasted and seen the depth of sin, it's surely great to be delivered from it. But in the depth of sin, there is depravity. There is a bondage to whatever sin wants us to do. This is the biblical truth, and it is the truth of our own experience. When we are in sin, we're caught by sin. There's a worldwide web of sin and sinners, and this is orchestrated not by some CEO, but by the prince of the powers of darkness, even Satan. There's depravity. Besides that, there's guilt. Besides that, there's the sentence of death upon those who are in their sin and unconverted and who haven't tasted of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so that's from which we've been delivered. The depth of sin, its depravity, its bondage, its guilt, and the sentence of death. Through Jesus Christ, through the cross of Calvary, through His paying for sins, something we celebrate not only in the Lenten season, as we shall tonight, but also at every season. This is the gospel that is to be preached. There is salvation in Jesus Christ through His blood. There's forgiveness of the debt. There is the expunging of our sins into the depths of the sea. There is no guilt and no condemnation anymore for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thanks be to God. What a great deliverer. And the Catechism at every point reminds us of what we need to be reminded of when we consider what we should do for this Savior. Remember, the Catechism says, what He has done for you. He's died and He's risen for you sinners who trust in Him. And so, look at Colossians with me. Look at the reality of this great salvation. The apostle in Colossians 3 says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. But note the first thing. You were raised with Christ. This is assumed as something that's true for the saints that are Colossae and all of the saints who read the Word of God and believe it. You're raised with Christ. Remember the depth from which you've been delivered. The depth of sin and guilt and hopelessness. Now there's this raising up into glory even now. This is the amazing truth of the gospel. God empties heaven for our sake and comes to the lower part of the earth and goes to hell and back for us. And now, since He's risen and ascended to the right hand of God, He takes us there. God is so generous to exalt us in exalting His Son and giving us to be joined with Him through faith in Him. That's the great depth and consider, or the great height to which we are delivered. And so we are to seek those things that are above. Besides that, we're reminded in verse 3 of Colossians 2 that we died. And the reference there, of course, is that our old man has died. There's been a principal separation from the death of sin in the our being raised to glory with Jesus, so that it's all now about this life that's begun by the Holy Spirit. Our life is this life whereby there's death to sin, there's death to the love of sin. Our heart is changed. The Holy Spirit now resides there, so that this thing is true as well, that Christ is our life. For we're told here, when Christ, who is our life, appears, and you also will appear with Him in glory. So there's this raising up. There's this death to the old man, and now Christ is our life. And we live, nevertheless, not we, but as Paul says, Christ who lives in us, and this is our great and living hope. And when He comes again in glory, we will appear with Him in glory. There will be no condemnation also in the day of days, even for us who have just the small beginning, even for us who are Christ's and who are therefore God's. We are delivered from all of this depth of sin and depravity. And there's the reality of it that's expressed in the midst of exhortations in Colossians chapter 3. And this is the truth of the gospel set forth in the entire New Testament in its fullness and in the Old Testament by promise and by prophecy. So we have Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. And this, the Catechism reminds us, is all of grace, merely of grace. Merely is maybe not a correct word there, for grace is such a great thing. Nothing is never merely about grace. When it's grace, it's overwhelmingly grace and gracious that God shows to us. And we're saved wonderfully of grace, we might better say, from our misery through Christ. Grace is the connection between our depravity and our being exalted. We are changed from the depravity and the death and the hopelessness by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. The grace of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our election before time began, so that grace was given us, Timothy says in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 9. Grace was given us before time began. God ever had in His mind to be favoring a people, choosing a people out of the mess, out of the mire, and connecting them with Jesus so that they were joined more than at the hip with Jesus, but in the heart of Jesus on the cross. So that when He died, we died with Him there, Paul says in Romans 6. When He rose, we, His body, rose with Him then and there. And now, believer, through the faith that's given to you, in which you now exercise, and in which you begin to taste and see for yourself with great assurance that Christ is yours, there is this personal connection. Grace does this all. Grace does this all. In fact, as we read in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 15, grace is something that spreads through the many. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many, that is, the many who are saved by that grace, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And this is the subject then of the sermon. The connection between grace, which spreads through the many in the gospel preaching, to the thanksgiving of those many for the glory of God. This is the Bible's explanation and the Catechism's explanation of the absolute necessity of a life of thanks. It's all because of grace. The grace of God in Jesus Christ, by which we're delivered, but as the Catechism reminds us, we're delivered not only by His blood, but we're also renewed by His Holy Spirit after His own image. There is this wonderful, absolute reality forever of the things of God. And I fear in many, even in evangelical church today, there's a hesitancy to proclaim the realities of God and Christ and grace. Everything seems to be made tenuous, shaky, iffy, conditional, dependent on the sinner's willing and working the strength of his faith. Not so in the Catechism, not so in Reformation doctrine, not so in the Word of God. Everything that God does is sure, and the Lord knows them that are His. The Lord in Jesus gave His life that there might be a people. Not maybe be a people, but there might surely be a people for whom He died that will show forth His praises and thanks forevermore. Grace does that. By grace we are saved. By grace we're not only given the opportunity to be saved, by grace we are saved and we are kept and we are ushered finally into the gate of heaven by this same grace. By grace we've been delivered from misery. By grace we've been redeemed and delivered by the blood of Jesus and also renewed by His Holy Spirit after His own image. You see, what grace does is make it so that there's a work for us for our salvation and there's a work in us for our salvation. There's a work of Christ by His truth, by His Spirit. The work of God in Him, that's this irresistible and wonderfully compelling and renewing and life-transforming thing. Do you know that? Do we truly know that? And that's the point now when we want to speak of this grace on the ground. Well, it's true that it is a reality that there's grace. But there's only a small beginning of this grace unto gratitude. How often are we thankless or maybe only partially thankful for the work of Jesus Christ? How often we're distracted from things that are above? We're told here to seek the things that are above in Colossians 3. We find ourselves informing ourselves to death on the internet we're amusing ourselves to death on the internet or wherever else amuses us. We find ourselves distracted by coronaviruses and the disease that follows. We find ourselves running off to the store, making a rush on this or that or the other thing in a panic. And our faith shows itself to be very weak indeed. About that small, and I'm there with you if you agree with me that this can be exactly what we show in our reaction to things that are terrible indeed and pandemic and threatening, but our reaction so often unaccompanied by the faith as it is in Jesus. And so our life of gratitude is hindered, even as much as lots of things are hindered for society nowadays. The life of gratitude for the child of God is only a small beginning, and we can show that we're not so grateful, we're not so believing, we're not so trusting that the sufferings of Christ are the things we should focus on and which are life-giving. And when we're concerned just for the suffering of ourselves, which is really at this point for many and most people not so much suffering, it's just a bunch of inconvenience, but there is suffering to be sure, and there is the threat of death, and there is many deaths that are and that shall be because of this disease. Indeed, to be sure, and not to make light of it. But you see, the Bible points us to the suffering of Christ. That's the point of the gospel. And the point of believing, the necessity of believing that, that's the work of grace. When we're joined to that, and to the resurrection of the Savior, and to the boundless mercies and graces that He shows to His people, raising them up to heaven's height, giving them to be together, to want to be together, even in the midst of social distancing, because we love the saints, we love the body of Christ, for there Jesus Christ is manifest. And there, in a big way, He ministers the doctrines of grace to us. And so, how little is our faith in these things? And how easily we're running around just like the society of unbelief, which has caught the contagion of unbelief. It's gone viral, you know. Unbelief has in these days. And we need ourselves to be far away from that. It's difficult, I know, to be thankful. Often we show this in our families. We let our guards down. Instead of being thankful, we're complaining all the time about little things. Not just viruses and big things, but little things. How we need to be stirred up. And this is the point of preaching, the point of encouraging one another. Stirred up in thankfulness. The Catechism itself reminds us that there is this necessity of good works and gratitude in response to deliverance in Jesus. And there's a purpose, and this I would take here in the instruction of the Catechism as a great motivation to be thankful. For in the first place, we are redeemed and delivered by the blood of Jesus. We are renewed by His Holy Spirit after His own image. For this great purpose, to testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for His blessings and that He may be praised by us. Now that ought to motivate anyone who's a child of God. That's the principal motivation, the prime thing that moves us to be grateful. We get to show off God. Believer, isn't that your motivation for anything? In all of our conduct, we get to show off God. In the times that are short, when everybody's just living for the moment and living to feed themselves and to distance themselves from others and to preserve life, we get to show off God and eternal things and things that really matter. And things that are of necessity not only for today but for eternity. And things that make for a wonderfully full and vibrant life. We get in all of our conduct to show off God and His praise for all His blessings. And then there is this purpose of the life of good works and gratitude. It's that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. This is an interesting way the Catechism has of addressing the doctrine of assurance. We believe with the Heidelberger at Lord's Day 7 that assurance is a part of the essence of faith. At the same time, there's a way in which God works faith so that we're assured, and that this assurance then may become a way that whereby we can surely keep the commandments and pray and know that we're on the right track. And assurance then is said to be a fruit of good works. Indeed it is. If you are those who are not living the conscious Christian life, the deliberate conscious Christian life, there's going to be doubts that rise. Doubts of the reality of God. Doubts as you tangle yourself in the worldwide web of sin. There's going to be doubts when you don't see in your life the fruits that are thereof. Maybe you're relying on feelings and you're saying and using this as an excuse, I don't feel like a Christian. Well, it's because you're not acting like a Christian. You haven't told us that, but that's often the case. The Catechism says here that there is assurance, and this is a goal, through those who are graced. Assurance by the fruits of grace itself. Indeed. We say things like this, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck or quacks like a duck and looks like a duck, it is a duck. Well, beloved, it's the same thing in a far more profounder way. If you walk like a Christian and you talk like a Christian, you look like a Christian even, then there's assurance in one degree or another, especially in the heart, that you are a Christian. The fruits of your life are so very important for yourself personally. So for God and for your own self, for the love of God and for the love of the neighbor as yourself, be those who are often showing the fruits of gratitude. And then there's this purpose for others. We are to live the life of good works and to be a godly witness of a grateful people for deliverance in Jesus Christ, so that by our godly conversation, that's life, others may be gained to Christ. So important. And the Catechism here speaks of the importance of our evangelism, of the neighbor, of our speaking to the neighbors, of the point that we have something that's more than food and drink at the grocery store, more than something that's of necessity for this earthly life. We have a message. We have a mediator. The gospel of the Word of God is that we are Christ, and we speak this to the neighbor. We speak this by our lifted up countenance and our being hopeful and being helpful and being those who would truly give all the glory to God in pointing them to Jesus Christ. Well, this is so very important, as we'll see next time. You cannot be saved except you show this kind of gratitude, this grateful life, that you are converted to God. This is absolutely necessary. This is the way that grace works. And this is so important for ourselves. Oh, beloved, I want to leave you just with this. There is a contagion among us. That is, there is a dreaded disease that we all feared would come. And we have no reason to think that this shall not be the last of contagious diseases as this nation and others commingle together in this amazing way that we have. And technology has led us to be a worldwide community. But we have something that's far more important that spreads. It's called grace. It's called the grace of God. That's how God works. Through us, beloved, there is this wonderful, wonderful contagion of grace. We read of that before in 2 Corinthians 4 and 15. All things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, increased through the many, through many believers, grace having spread that way may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Beloved, one way or another, God is using a virus to spread in His judgments panic on the world and to cause many of His own to see the reality of the need of grace. Beloved, that reality of grace is among us. It's among your homes, isn't it? Your home is a graceful place, isn't it? Your church is a place of grace and truth, isn't it? Well, this is what God does to spread the news. The grace of God preached and then heard and lived by is the way that the gratitude of Christians and Christianity, the gratitude of a people saved by grace from the misery of sin, the virus of the devil, that spreads through the testimony of the people of God. And that's why in this age, and this age is significant. It's amazing how important this time is for us as Christians. We ought to be testifying of the truth of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I believe, beloved, that in fact, so epical is this time among us that it will ever be known that before January or so, maybe November last 2019, when the first virus appeared in China, whatever, but that the time as we look back on this will ever be known as B.C., that is, before the coronavirus. And afterwards, it'll be known, the calendars will be marked as A.C., after the coronavirus. And as well, I believe that there's going to be some sort of solution that people will find for this coronavirus. And so maybe it'll be the celebration of man. It'll be after the coronavirus, there was the AM age, the age of man. Beloved, let's stick to this. Let's understand that the calendar is God's. And before Christ came, that was B.C. In the fullness of time, when he came, that was the year of our Lord, A.D. They're trying to change everything on us, even the times. They're trying to change the ordinances and saying, we poo-poo, we despise the church and that foolishness of preaching. Don't change. Resist the change. Believe in God and in His grace in Jesus Christ. Believe that now is the time when we who look not at things that are temporary and things that are seen, but things that are eternal, things that are not seen, may show off the praises of God. That's the praises of His Son. That's the praises of His grace. Be the thankful people. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, for the Word of God. We pray that we may ourselves be grateful. We pray that we may remember that from which we've been delivered, that we've been raised on high by Jesus Christ. We pray that we may be this responsible people, this Holy Spirit people, this people of the Word of God. We pray that we may, by our testimony, gain others to Christ and especially be a praise to You. Thanks for Your Word. Thanks for the declaration of it. Thanks for the ears to hear. May we go forth now in faith and in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.